This is the Frank Sontag Show. We are grateful you've joined us for our impact segment, which the beginning of each hour is always 20 plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. And we begin our impact segment with a man who is well known as an author. He is founder and director of Eternal Perspective Ministries. He is also author of a brand new book entitled Truth, A Bigger View of God's Word. It is always a blessing to welcome Randy Alcorn to the Frank Sontag Show. Randy, how are you?
Doing great, Frank, and it's good to be with you.
Thank you so much for spending time with us. And I want to jump right in and ask you to talk a little bit about, well, you wrote a blog, a commentary, True Leading is Serving. We in the church, we hear a lot about the terminology servant leadership. But what does that really mean? What does that really look like?
Well, I think if you're a servant, it's built into the word. You know, look up the word, think about what's a servant. Well, servant is somebody who is under someone else. You know, in our case, if we're servants of Jesus, we are to be servant leaders in the sense that we are always under him. Also, we serve people. And when we serve people, that means that we look out for their best interests and we do what's best for them and we give of ourselves and we make some sacrifices along the way. You know, the servant just doesn't dictate his own schedule and make it all about him. He makes it about the Lord he serves and he makes it about other people. So, you know, in Scripture, 1 Peter 5, leaders are not lording it over those entrusted to them, but being examples to the flock. And, you know, it, being an example of Christ-like service, you know, we don't, you know, use God's flock to build our kingdoms because God's flock belongs to him, not to us. And so, you know, I think with humility and service, you know, people like to be called a servant. It's a compliment to be called, oh yeah, he's a real servant of God. But then on the other hand, we don't really want to be treated like servants, do we?
Well, I'll speak for myself. I would say an emphatic no, we don't, if we're really honest.
Right.
You mentioned humility. So humble oneself. Jesus was the perfect selfless servant, and yet many of us know, well, we're not Jesus. So here's the question. Is part of the challenge to recognize that we often opt out and let ourselves off the hook by saying, well, I could never be like him. I'm flawed. I'm a sinner. I'm fallible. Therefore, we don't lead and live lives of selfless servants.
Yeah, I think that is true, and I think it is a cop-out because we are called to imitate Jesus. He is the good shepherd, and we are to be, as leaders, especially in the church, the body of Christ, and Christian leaders and parachurch organizations, or wherever we are and whatever we do, we are to lead with our service, and we are to be like Jesus. Because if we're not striving to be like Jesus and being quick to confess and ask forgiveness when we fail to be like Jesus, then why would people follow us? The Scripture makes clear that we are God's work in our lives. Look at Romans 8 and countless other passages, is to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does in people's lives, and we are to help them be conformed to the image of Christ by acting as those who are under Christ and behaving in a way that's an example. And that's why sometimes we're just thrown off in Scripture when the Apostle Paul says, imitate me. But he doesn't just say imitate me. It's imitate me as I imitate Christ.
Mm. Randy Alcorn is my guest. Randy, we live in a very me-centered culture. And we have these, what I call, oxymoronic things called smartphones. We spend a lot of time looking at that screen. We have 24/7 news cycles. We hear all about the quote-unquote world. Can you share a few thoughts on the need to really take a look at our identities? Jesus said, deny yourself, pick up your cross daily, and follow me. And you even write in this piece that I'm making reference to, you say the only things that break the back of arrogance, materialism, and self-obsession would be training in humility and being service, service-oriented Christians. That's very powerful. Can you share more about that?
Well, if you look at 1 Timothy 6, you have these really severe warnings against materialism. And think about what it says early in that chapter, where it talks about people, you know, those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and into a snare and into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. And it says it's through craving for these things that people have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. One of the most striking things is it's talking about a worldview of materialism that actually brings destruction to yourself. He's not just saying it's wrong. Well, of course it's wrong. But the point is, he's saying it's foolish. It's going to destroy your life. But in contrast to that, then he says to those who are rich in this present age, he says, charge them not to be prideful, and this is in verse 17 of 1 Timothy 6, but to set their hopes not on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. We're to be to do good, we're to be rich in good works, we're to be generous and willing to share, and in doing that, we'll store up treasure for ourselves as a firm foundation, you know, for the coming age, and we'll grab hold of the life that is truly life. And when you think about that, you think about God calling us to something which is an adventure of humility and following Him, but what happens is, He calls those who are rich in this world, and virtually all of us are listening today rich in this world. Now, somebody might say, oh, no, I'm extremely poor. But even a poverty level by U.S. standards puts someone in somewhere around the 96th or 97th percentile of the world's wealthy. And so we have to say, relatively speaking, the great majority of us are wealthy. I'm not saying there's no poverty. But what I'm saying is, that materialism, at the back of materialism, is broken through giving, through looking at others, through serving others, devoting our lives to the service of others. And then this humbles us, and we're not going around being proud like we've earned it all, but we recognize it as a gift from the Lord.
Randy Elkhorn is my guest. Randy, in the 7 or so minutes that we have talked so far, if anyone is half listening, every response you've given, you've attributed scripture. So here's the question. There are many people listening that say, yes, I want to be a servant. I want to be a leader. We have that intention, but it's also about discipline. And you write, true service is training in humility. So all that being said, I want to bridge to your book, because your book is about God's truth, a bigger view of God's world. Talk about the importance of us delving into Scripture.
Well, I think Scripture itself and going to Scripture is a great test of our humility, because then not only does it cultivate our humility, but it also tests our humility, because am I willing to submit to words and thoughts and ideas and a worldview that is pretty radically different than the worldview that I see around me and the inclinations of my own heart? So my instinct would be to say yes to this and say yes to that and say no to this and no to that. And then I'm reading Scripture and I'm seeing it tell me I should be saying yes to disciplining myself for the purpose of godliness, to actually is a person disciplines themselves for the Olympics or for any kind of athletics. There's certain things that you don't eat. There's certain training that you do that you don't feel like doing. You get up at a certain time that you don't want to get up. And to be disciplined is to have a higher goal in mind. So God will call us to be disciplined in our moral lives, in our sexual purity, to say no. The grace of God, the Titus 2 says, teaches us to say no to ungodliness. And we're to turn away, we're to flee sexual immorality and to flee youthful lusts, and we're to turn the other way and look to God. So we're saying no to things, and then we're saying yes to other things we wouldn't instinctively say yes to. So the real test that I'm talking about is, when I go to the Bible, am I willing to say, Lord, you're right, and I'm wrong? And as soon as we are trying to rationalize our way out from under Scripture, oh, well, it surely doesn't really mean that. And then we come up with a creative new interpretation that nobody's ever held in church history until the, you know, till the current era. And so now we reinterpret Scripture in light of our changing moral values as a culture. Well, that's a test. Am I going to go with the culture and make the culture my God? Am I going to go with my flesh and make my flesh my God? Or am I going to go with God's Word, which really is God's Word?
Mm. Randy, you have written this new book, Truth, A Bigger View of God's Word. You've just alluded to culture and all the challenges we rely on, or our feelings, or the world is constantly going back and forth with its worldview. All of the, what I call the big distraction. Here's the question. We know as Christians, God's word never returns void. And yet the challenge is, you use the word submit, surrender. Our identity is in Christ. I guess the question that would jump off from all that is, there are people listening right now that say, I'm almost all in for Jesus. I've got that last 5% that I'm holding on to me. Talk about the lies of somehow having a foot in both worlds. Scripture talks about you can't worship two masters.
That's right. We can't worship two masters. You know, you cannot serve both God and money, for instance, but fill in the blank. You can put in a lot of other things besides money, whether that's pride, or whether it's the idol of sex, the idol of success, the idol of popularity, you know. And you mentioned living in the era of social media and looking at the smartphone all the time, and that's a good example of it. You look around and you see all the opportunity to think about ourselves, and even the whole development of selfies, and while it can certainly be perfectly harmless to take a picture of yourself with a group or whatever, but when that becomes, and seeing yourself and doing that all the time everywhere you go, that's living life all about you, you know. And if I'm living my life, if it's all about Randy Alcorn, I'm in real trouble. But the interesting thing is, not only am I failing to serve the Lord and failing to serve those around me when I make it all about Randy Alcorn, but I'm doing the worst possible thing for Randy Alcorn, for me. And that's what we so often miss, and that is that what is to the glory of God and what is for the good of others is always for our own personal good. And some people say, well, no, because we're sacrificing our own personal good. No, every time we sacrifice, which we are called upon to do, but every time we do it, there is this true and real payoff. There's the eternal reward payoff, but there's also just the, for instance, giving is a good example. You're storing up treasures in heaven when you give to the needy, and you help other people, and you get them the gospel, but at the same time, you're helping all those people, glorifying God. You're also doing what is in your best interest, because then you experience the joy of giving. And there's, it's the best possible thing you can do for yourself, is to serve God and serve others.
Mm. Randy Alcorn is my guest, author of the brand new book, Truth, A Bigger View of God's Word. Randy, can you talk about specifics in the book? I know your book has everyday meditations, quotes, scriptural readings. Talk about the book and would it help someone listening right now, say, understand that they are truly loved by God and He has a plan for their lives?
Yes, there's a, the 200 meditations that are in the Truth Book. So they're very brief, one-page daily meditations. They've all got at least one passage of scripture, often a couple of different ones that I allude to. But there's always a great quotation from somebody, and then there's my brief meditation, maybe 150 words or so, that is reflecting. And it's not, it's on two things, really. It's on the very subject matter of truth, a truth as a whole, and Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and lots of passages of scripture that talk about God's Word, of course, and His Word is truth, and it's that light to our feet, that lamp for our paths, and all of that. But also, then, it talks about different truths, and the love of God is certainly one of those, and the grace of God is certainly one of those, and other attributes of God are great truths of Scripture. So, if I'm not talking about the subject of truth per se on a day, I am talking about a great truth of Scripture. And we live in this day, Frank, and you know this so well, where it's like everybody's making it up on the fly. You know, it's like the history of the church and the things that people have believed who are followers of Jesus throughout the ages, it's like those don't matter anymore. So I'm just going to wing it, you know, and I'm in this situation, and oh, this seems good to me. Yeah, but there's a way that seems right to a man, and the end thereof are the ways of death. And so we need to not just be making it up as we go, and that's why we need to go to God's Word every day to get oriented and make sure that we are basing our day on this perspective, and it will help me screen out the bad things and draw me toward the good things so that I make wise and Christ-honoring choices today.
Amen. Amen. Randy, when I was a non-believer and I was a leader in the New Age movement, one of the things that I looked for and saw at times unmistakably would be individuals that were different. And I would come to find they were followers of Jesus. And I remember one in particular. He's a musician. He was on the program that I hosted. And he said, everybody needs a savior. And he talked about his testimony a little bit. In your book, Truth, A Bigger View of God's Word, I know you talk about the importance for those of us to share who we are in Christ and point others to Him as well.
Absolutely. You know, you've got to be a representative of Jesus. You are His ambassador. And an ambassador is always representing someone else, a different nation, a different head of state, and he doesn't just dictate his own way of life and his own values. He represents a country, and for us, heaven is that country, and Jesus is our King. And so when people see us, they should see Jesus in us. And our job in this world is not just to kind of get by and figure out how we can build our own little kingdoms, but to realize that our destiny is way bigger than that, because we are, yes, a small part, but nonetheless a significant part of God's larger kingdom with a capital K. And He is the King of Kings, and we are the kings and queens, you know, with lowercase, who will serve under Him forever. And we don't wait until we die to start doing that. We do it here and now, and it's the greatest honor there is.
Randy, last question. There are some that see Christianity as somehow, well, it's about becoming a good spiritual person. And we look to Jesus as somehow He was the prophet of love. You've alluded to Scripture. Your book is called Truth, A Bigger View of God's Word. So in God's truth, would you share in closing that Jesus didn't necessarily come in the world to make us better spiritual people? He came into the world to transform us.
There are so many people today who talk about spirituality in some positive way, but it's so vague that you can define it any way you want. Yes, I'm a real spiritual person, and I'm becoming a spiritual person, and I just define it however I want. Jesus, came into the world and he said the words. You know, I didn't make this up. The Apostle John didn't make it up. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's a definite article, not a way, a truth, a life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He did come to transform us, to change us radically, not just to kind of mildly affect our point of view, because Jesus was a sort of a good example for us, and so once in a while I'll keep in mind how Jesus lived. He came to transfer us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We are to be made new creations in Christ. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. It's a radical transformation, and we live it out in our lives, and we're saved first, and then by the blood of Jesus and the grace of Jesus, and then we're sanctified in process, and we, along the way, sin, and we confess those sins, and then one day we will be glorified, we'll be morally perfected in the very presence of Jesus. And so he is all about transforming us into the image of his Son who went to the cross and died for us.
Randy Alcorn has written nearly 50 books. He's obviously a best-selling author. Many of us know and appreciate Randy from his book, Heaven. He has a brand new book entitled Truth, A Bigger View of God's Word. He is also founder and director of Eternal Perspective Ministries. If you don't know about EPM, it is a nonprofit organization dedicated to teaching biblical truth and drawing attention to the needy and how to help them. If you want to find out more about Randy's ministry, his website is very easy to remember, epm.org, as in Eternal Perspective Ministries, epm.org. Randy, thank you for spending some time with us. It is always a blessing to do that. Thank you for writing this book, Truth, A Bigger View of God's Word, and all you do for his kingdom.
You bet, Frank. It was a pleasure to be with you. Thanks.
All right, my brother. God bless you.